Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That's very happy. Happy New Year! Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch. Happy New Year! And into I couldn't know which side
Happy
it should
New
go on.
Happy New Year, Harriet!
We are an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Jeff Thomas. Nope, with me. Oh, God. Let's start again. Welcome to Ambridge on
Happy
the Couch.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! But then I can't, it doesn't work with a comma. Happy New Year! Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman and Matt Rodriguez Payne. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the year at the now vacated lodge with Brian at the controls of a Hoover. Not anything I'd imagine he's terrifically familiar with, but he seemed quite happy. Knowing Brian, he had a sit-on Hoover and special clothes to wear with it. Moleskin hoovering breeches or something. Lillian excitedly told everyone she'd come up with the most boring competition in the history of the world. Who has been going to the bull the longest? Who cares? People were frantically collecting evidence, apparently. The only evidence anyone has that they have spent too much time in the pub is an overdraft and a liver the size of Scotland. And also, the only people who are in the running are silent characters. So what the bloody hell is the point? We spent quite a lot of time in the bull this week. Part of it sitting on a box of scampi fries, reminiscing about stock cupboards with Emma and Tracy. And then a strange scene in which Tracy and Emma tried to persuade Kenton to let Mia get involved in the Renew fashion show. The strange bit wasn't the conversation, largely because I entirely agree with Kenton and think Maya is a total self-obsessed liability who hijacks every event for her cause, but because Emma was clearly in a completely different place. She was recording from somewhere else. It was very disconcerting and very evident, and the only way I couldn't get distracted by it was to imagine that she was chatting to Tracy and Jolene via Zoom. I mean, working remotely is a bit of a push for a barmaid, but I suppose she could just be there on screen sighing and saying, pint of Shires, is it, David? While someone less personable actually pours the drink. Tony accidentally gave away all Kate's clothes and possessions in an hilarious mix-up. I found this a bit odd too. If someone else had taken all my clothes to the tip, I would have gone absolutely ballistic, totally mad. And yet the rest of the Aldridges looked on with a sort of bemused interest. I think Kate was remarkably restrained considering she was condemned to wearing Joy's imaginary daughter's pyjamas and a coat until she could get to Underwoods, which I like to imagine only stocks Birkitex, so everyone looks like the mother of the bride all the time. I actually thought Kate underplayed the fact that every stitch she owned had been driven to the tip by her barmy uncle, but she completely overplayed the sodding Glastonbury wristband. Kate, you do have a memento of that remarkable Glastonbury. It is currently living in Scotland and showing no signs of wanting to come back. Happy birthday to Henry, who is being sent up a tree in the dark by his mother to celebrate while she abdicated responsibility once again and got someone's older sister to look after a group of overexcited teenagers instead. Helen had got a fizzing fountain to go on his cake, which I thought was a little tactless when the boy's entering puberty and will have all the fizzing fountains he can handle.
Oh, Jacob was
Jacob was treated like the second coming by Lillian and Alice for saying, yes, that pony is fat. I'm not a vet, but even I can tell when a horse is fat. If when you are riding it, your legs stick out horizontally either side of it, for one, or when it starts wearing baggy tops and sticking inspirational photos on the fridge. Poor Martha was frightened by the panto. You'd think a child brought up in Ambridge would be hardened to overacting, the audience shouting at it and people disappearing and suddenly reappearing. We spent too much time with Chris and Alice this week, in my view. I felt as if I'd been strapped into the back seat of the car and couldn't undo the belt. They are very much first-time parents, as they keep saying, ah, every time they mention their own child. The novelty wears off, lads. By the second one, you just want to establish it's not actually playing with broken glass. And if not, you really don't need to know anymore. Anyway, for someone who took ages to get round to telling Chris about Harry the Hip, she now won't bloody shut up about him, was not very tactful. The mentionitis was off the charts. Poor old Chris, but hang in there. Your time will come when she realises he's a loony stalker. And then Friday's episode, which has made me incandescent with fury and disappointment. Could we not have just let it go? The whole Titchener thing. His legacy is going to live on with Henry and Jack. It's not like we're going to forget about him. But we had just 3 lovely weeks of not worrying about Helen. And now here we go again? Are there not enough baddies to go round so we have to use permutations of the same one? I felt really irritated when I heard it. And although it could have been because I was hoovering the same bit of carpet for the 4th time trying to get the flipping pine needles up, but it didn't just feel like a fresh start to the new year. It felt recycled. Yours, Crossley, North Wales, the end.
Oh, Lucy, were you cross? I thought it was brilliant.
I was like, God, I knew you'd like it.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I thought, you knew something bad was coming. Because, I mean, I just think, I love all the, there's been, because it's all been obviously jolly and Christmassy and fun, but there's been quite a lot of low-lying tension creeping through, I think, in the, especially with Joy and the Rochelle and
yeah,
and then with Harry, there's been a sort of hint of dark things approaching.
But we've started a few lovely hairs running. So why do we need to bring up an old one?
Because it's good fun drama, Lucy. Come on, 2024. It's like my mother-in-law last night when she was babysitting. Just before she went, I'm very much enjoying the Archers at the moment, darling. But I do wish there'd be a good murder. And I was thinking, yeah, right.
Do you know
Come
what?
On.
We haven't had nearly enough sex and death this year.
Yeah. Come on, 2024. Yeah, but I think that's going to happen is Miles is going to do a lovely barn conversion, turn into a really nice guy and marry Helen.
Yeah. So then once again, we'll have some children whose father is now their uncle and she slept with both brothers. And they've got a real, you know, Cain and Abel thing going on.
I thought it was an excellent twist.
But
it's a lot less stressful because Robbie's dead. I mean,
but
I know
Bruce
that...
isn't.
Yeah, that's true, actually. We might get a bit more Bruce. Because I had this awful thing because, you know, I know... Last podcast, you realised the error of, and my error, of thinking it was a woman who had bought the land.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, it's Mrs. Titchener. Then I remembered she was dead. Yes, I know. But, you know, because she was so evil and awful. And so I was just trying to work. And then I thought, well, it can't be Bruce because he's too old.
But then she was evil and awful because of Bruce.
Yes, that's true.
And
that's
we've true. Got but- Bruce.
But we might have Bruce and Miles. Oh, yeah, I don't want Bruce coming back in because he really is the pits. Unless he comes back in, because we didn't get a murder out of it, did we? We didn't get a murder out of Rob.
So you think Helen will murder Bruce?
Yeah, could be that.
Or Pat could.
Or Pat could. Yeah, exactly.
I think with her rook gun.
That just never materialised into anything, did it?
No.
All the gunslinging that went on for a week. So I don't mind. I think this
Pat
is
swaggering around the village in leather chaps, greeting everyone with "Howdy, partner!" Ding.
2024 is going to be an epic year for Pat and her gun shooting. Quick on the trigger with target not much bigger. I hope she has a really good rebrand. And Annie, get your gun. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, but it's like Happy Valley, though, isn't it? It's sort of like the threat. Yeah, everything is resolved by the end of the series. But then, of course, the threat never really goes away. And that's what makes it so compelling.
And that's what she was saying to Henry, wasn't it, last night? She was talking about hypervigilance. She was saying, you're allowed to relax now and just...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
And then, oh! Except don't go near that house. Don't look at them. Don't talk to them. Don't go anywhere near them. You can't have a relationship with Miles. You could, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it'll all start off again.
Yes. No, that it's awful for Henry, actually, because I actually, oh, my God, I found Henry and Helen stuff really moving this week, Lucy. Because I think, because I've got a 12-year-old who's going to be 13. when Helen said something like, "Henry, go fly." No, she said something like, she said, "Oh, I just can't wait. I'm really looking forward to imagining you flying through the air on that zip wire tonight," or something a bit, you know, sentimental. I thought it was really moving, actually. And they've come so far. And that, you know, Henry's anxiety about being left on his own, which, I mean, to be fair, if I was left on my own in the dark, on a massive zip wire.
And you haven't got a psychopathic father that's, a stepfather that's, you know.
I'd be shitting myself.
Tried to abduct your brother, yeah.
I hate zip wires. I find them so scary. And when I was lucky enough to go to Costa Rica, Lucy, Rufus took me up the biggest zip wire in the world. That's not a euphemism. But I was so scared, and there were loads of kids, and I was crying. Well,
taking selfies while not holding on and things like that, yeah.
And they were going, "Mommy, why is that lady crying?" And I was going, "Oh, I don't want to do it." And then the instructor in the end, he was just like, "Oh, just come with me." And he just grabbed me, and we just went down this horrible zip wire. It was so scary. I hated it. It was traumatic.
Did you not enjoy anything of it?
No.
Okay. No.
I don't mind heights, but I don't like roller coasters or rides
I used to not mind them until I had children, and now I hate them. I don't know why.
But this was way before I had kids.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just a scaredy cat. I don't like the feeling, you know, when your tummy drops.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Mm.
And it was supposed to be obviously a beautiful experience because you're going over treetops and... but I had to shut my eyes. I was so scared. So it was pointless.
I did a treetop climbing thing with zip wires. Done. And I started off very, very scared and then relaxed a bit. And then I did it with my sister-in-law and various other people. And I was nattering away to her. And I was just about to launch myself off the platform. And she suddenly grabbed the back of my collar. And I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "You've clipped yourself onto yourself. You haven't clipped onto the safety thing." And I was like, "Oh, okay, right. I'll start concentrating now." Oh, yeah. See, and then I hated it from then on because it was like, "Oh, God, this is actually..."
Nearly throw yourself off the platform?
Yeah.
Into oblivion?
Well, no, because I think there's a safety rope anyway, but I'd clip myself onto myself. I clip myself onto my own rope because idiot. So, yes.
You see? I told you. See, that's why I was crying.
Yeah.
That's why I was scared. Because it's dangerous.
20 years' time, you'd be talking to a woman who might have done that. Yes.
And might have not been okay. Because you obviously have to sign waivers going, "Okay, if I die, I can't complain."
Yeah.
And that's scary. But then you have to do that if you go trampolining. So.
Oh, God.
Everything's a risk.
If you go on an escalator now, you have to sign a disclaimer.
Exactly. So Henry was super brave, and I really loved, although obviously it's always awkward when Helen plays computer games with him.
Yes. Oh, well, that's the first time I've ever been eaten by a giant blancmange or whatever it was.
I love the fact that Henry only gets out his PG games when she's playing. When he's on his own,
when he's not playing, he's playing Call of Duty,
Assassin's Creed. Yeah, exactly.
Blow his head off! Ooh. Oh, hello, mother. Look, I'm just bouncing across these toadstools. Look, la la la.
Why does that machine gunner have very big bosoms that are exposed and jiggling up and down as she shoots?
Which one are you, Henry? Oh, you're that one. Are you the one without the trousers on? I see.
Anyway, so that's that. I thought that was lovely, actually. And the Kate and Brian stuff is all brilliant, isn't it? Brilliant.
I still can't believe that Kate was like, "Oh well," about her clothes being taken to the tip.
Yeah, but was it everything? I mean,
I suppose none of Kate's clothes are going to be, you know. I imagine they're all that kind of slightly. They all smell a little bit of patchouli. And they're all that slightly dingy kind of murk colours.
Yes, you know. They've all been in fields.
Yeah, and also, they started out in that kind of... You know, there's always one shop. There's one shop in every town along the coast here that sells incense sticks, buddhas, and clothes. They're like tapestry clothes.
I remember loving those.
Yeah, no. They're made for 13 and 14 year old girls. And yeah. they can buy a mood ring and friendship bracelets and usually a
perfume
hat.
Bottle.
Yeah. And
a patchwork bag.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's like patchworky shit.
I loved. We had Saffron Moon in Winchester.
Yeah, and they're all called things like Saffron Moon or
That was a very 90s thing, though. I haven't seen. Well, I mean, they obviously are still around. Are they only coastal nowadays?
But you know, obviously places like Glastonbury and.
Yeah.
And,
no. Exactly. Yeah.
What's the place in Devon that's got?
But they all smell exactly. Bridport.
No, there's a hippie Totnes. Totnes. Absolutely.
Oh right, I didn't know that was hippie.
Wash with it.
I love Totnes.
Yeah. So.
But yeah. So that's the thing. They'll all have that smell.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
And exactly. They'll all be loose sort of clothing.
Yes.
But you know, it's like it's one thing losing clothes, which I don't think, I wouldn't be upset about losing clothes. I'd probably be relieved, actually, because my clothes are terrible. But was her passport in there? Where's her, I mean, I assume all of her business admin and her very valuable possessions weren't in bin bags.
Mm.
They would have been in her handbag or something.
Why were her clothes in bin bags?
Well, I suppose she was just like having a quick tidy up, wasn't she? And she was, right. As she said, I didn't expect Tony to come in on New Year's Eve. And I quite liked it because I really felt for Tony because he was just, bin bag, quick, let's get to the dump. And of course you're going to take every single, you're not going to look inside.
And there's nothing worse than when you think you've done a good thing. You've been efficient or helpful. And then that dawning realisation that something somewhere has just gone terribly wrong.
Oh,
and you're
God.
Like, oh, and your blood runs cold and you think, oh no. And you have to switch from, praise me, I did a good thing. That was the wrong thing, was it?
And also then you take responsibility, but then you start blaming the other person
bits. Yes, yes, yes.
No, it's just, I mean, God, it's completely my fault. It's just really weird that you put them in bin bags, though. It's really strange that. It's just weird.
It's almost like you wanted someone to take them to the tip and get shouted at.
But I really loved the fact that Brian was like, oh, she'll be fine. Don't worry. Yeah, it's all good.
Oh, she's always leaving her clothes everywhere. She leaves everything. She leaves her children everywhere. Never mind her clothes. It's fine.
I'm really enjoying. I think Brian sounds like he's got such a spring in his step now, doesn't he?
He does.
Sounds very chipper and young and fun.
Yeah.
And he's sort of, he's coming out of his curmudgeonly self a little bit, isn't he?
The tweed is slowly wearing off a little bit, I think.
Yes, he's put it in bin bags. Yeah. And the Joy stuff is just going to be fantastic, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't Joy stunning with Helen yesterday, I thought?
Yeah.
She really knows exactly what to say and what not to say.
Oh, God, I really hope it's not anything too bad about Rochelle.
What is it, Lucy?
I do not know.
Well, you know, some people are saying it's witness protection. But I can't work out who's in witness protection. Is Rochelle in witness protection or Joy? If you're in witness protection,
they've
are you allowed to
have... They've
had
to put me in ambush because I can't keep my bloody mouth shut about anything.
But that's the thing. She could be a spy, couldn't she? Or, I don't know, well, that's one theory. No, that's like a theory that keeps being bandied around. And I suppose the more likely one is that Rochelle is estranged from her because she's not a particularly nice person.
Yeah.
Or that, do you think maybe her, clearly she had a bad relationship.
Yes.
And if it was with Rochelle's father, perhaps the father took custody and...
Yeah, and Rochelle, you know, resents... Joy... Well, that's one of our listeners said, Rochelle resents her mother and they haven't been reconciled.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the most likely thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But it's so heartbreaking, if that's true. I of course, we're going to hear a lot more about that.
Yeah.
Which is good. I thought Mick and Joy were living together already. I didn't even realise they weren't.
No.
I just assumed he's always in the hot tub because he lives there.
Like a little prune by now. I think that this Ed and Emma tree thingy, surgery thing, might actually work.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But then where does that leave us? Because we thought that Emma was going to break away from Fallon and take on whichever the team rooms, Teram or the...
Except that we thought that... But now Fallon can go and take it on, can't she? Because she can leave the tea room now.
Yeah.
To take
but then
on
who's
the
going to take over the tea room? Oh, Natasha
and Tom. Will have to get her apron on.
Oh, my God.
Tom will have to be serving them customers.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? They'd be He'll have to get shit at it.
Yeah.
Nobody would go, ever.
Lillian will have to train him up. Oh. Just smile more, darling. Come on. I think if they can afford the investment, then it is a good idea, isn't it? Because they're, I assume in somewhere like Ambridge, there's loads of work for tree surgeons.
Well, yeah, apart from everyone would already have someone. But it's there's loads of tree surgeons around here and there's a waiting list for them. So I mean, the more, the merrier.
I know they chop your trees down, but there must be a lot. There must have to be a lot of trees to chop down to give everyone that work.
Yes, and it also depends because with the weather like it is at the minute, with the amount of climate change and the storms and things like that, we've had more extreme weather. There's more trees that are coming down sooner than they should do because they're being damaged one way or another. And you know, if somebody's killed on your land because you haven't spotted that there's a tree, you're in big trouble.
You can't take really, if it's on your land.
I don't think anybody's going to be had up for manslaughter, but you know, as just individually, you'd feel absolutely dreadful. And they do have to really, really, really keep on top of it. I know that when I lived in near Epping Forest, then the tree surgeons were always out because there were branches, and there's diseases like ash dieback and things like that where you have to clear the whole, that can be hundreds and hundreds of trees. You have to dispose of branches that have fallen. You have to identify branches that are about to fall and get rid of them. And something else I just thought of and now I can't remember it. But
so
yes.
It's not necessarily...
Also, lots of historic trees have... like in my garden when I lived in Essex, there was a tree with a tree preservation order on it, which means that I wasn't allowed to do... And I couldn't just get anybody to just come sort it out. It was a huge old oak tree. So you have to pay... You can be fined $20,000 if you touch the tree that's got a tree preservation order on it.
Whoa.
And you have to... pay for somebody that's been approved, a tree search that's been approved by the council, who understands how it all, you know, where they can prune it, where it's not going to prevent it growing or damage it or whatever.
Did you see, I don't know if you did, but Will Meller, who you know, that he's a great actor, and he did a big rant on social media because a tree outside his rather large gated mansion had fallen down, like it could have hit a car or a person.
Okay.
Anyway, and he was having a massive rant. I told the council, I've been telling them this is going to come down. And now, and I suppose I was like, whoa. But of course, I guess he was angry because it could have hurt one of his kids.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I've seen it happen twice. I was working in Sheffield and I looked out of the window. And just the moment I looked out of the window, a branch fell off the tree in the car park and went straight through somebody's roof of their car.
Oh my God. God, stop swearing. Sorry. Sorry. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, Lucy.
What, to start swearing more?
No, bleep it. No, cut it. We don't want this to, we want this to be a family friendly show.
And I was a temp at the time, so I didn't really know. And I sort of said, excuse me. Excuse me. The tree's just gone through that car. And everyone looked at me with distaste, like they do look at you when you're the temp. And then suddenly went, oh, bloody hell, and ran outside. And then I was talking to a lady in the forest. We ended the conversation. We were both walking dogs and we were chatting about the dogs or whatever. She turned and walked away from me and she got about 2 meters away and the branch we were standing under just went croom and fell right to the floor.
Wow.
This sort of cloud of dried leaves and everything else. And it was an old... tree, and the branch had just had enough, and you know,
wow.
So yeah, it is a
well,
it's a valuable service. And the
well, that's the thing. I feel like with all the, you know, with climate change, and then this just recently, there's been so much flooding everywhere.
Yeah, storms and flooding definitely don't help. And it's also things like when trees go fall into streams and get washed down and then block the stream, and so the tree surgeon has to come and haul it out and tidy up the tree that's the remains of the tree that's left and get rid of the tree that's there and all that.
And more importantly, there hasn't been a tree surgeon in Ambridge, has there?
No.
So there is a big gap for Ed and Emma.
A lot of the guys that do it are but they do bouldering, you know, climbing, rock climbing, bouldering.
Yeah, well, I met a tree surgeon a couple of years ago, and he used to be an actor, but he was an acrobatic actor. So he was a performer, but he was a circus skills guy, basically. And he said, well, you know, I couldn't get any work, but I could climb high.
Yeah.
So I became a tree surgeon.
And it's really scary. When they're just they're just dangling there.
I know.
Chatting with a chainsaw running, you know, and you think, please be careful.
I see them. Stop talking. God, I know sometimes. What you're doing. Yeah, they're just sort of standing on a branch. Yeah. It's very cool, isn't it? It's quite thrilling when
it's
you see.
It's quite heroic. I think that's why Emma's quite so excited about it.
Well, they're I think it's very exciting for both of them.
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking of, you know, first when there's nothing for Emma with her chainsaw.
Yes.
Even though it was a welder, wasn't it, in Flashdance. But I really enjoy the chemistry that Ed and Emma have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do get certain couples that have that spark.
In a pervy way, they're the ones that you can imagine still having sex.
Totally. They do it in... They have a great chemistry, don't they?
Fallon and Harrison sounds cringy. Fallon and Harrison, Ed and Emma.
Yeah.
Linda and Robert, actually.
Yeah.
Probably because they keep talking about it. What do they call it? Sexy.
Well, Kenton and Jolene, but theirs is cringe.
Theirs is kind of angry argument sex, isn't it?
Come here, darling. And then the whole pub goes, oh, and we're all going, because I suppose it's because we're just scarred from the shower.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
That's why we can't ever,
Brian but no, Jenny, I love no. I imagine no, Brian no. putting his hand no, on Jenny's knee sensible. And Jenny going, no, Brian.
Brian! No. Lillian and Justin, well, I don't want to think about that.
No. Thanks. I think they probably do. Ruth and David, no.
No, not for many years.
No.
No, but so I maybe 2024 is going to give them some very good luck.
Lizzie really and Vince, so. Yes, but very transactional.
yes. Oh, a bit gross.
Okay, bit Vince, gross. But afterwards, we do need to talk about...
I've got a bit of a problem with my accounting, actually, Vince. I wonder if you can help me out with this invoice. All right, Lizzie. Come here. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, I've only got 10 minutes. That's
so
fine.
Quick one, then the accounting, yeah? Yeah.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Did you notice anything weird about the sound this week?
No, I didn't actually, but I think it depends how you listen. Were you listening on headphones?
Yes.
Okay, so I think sometimes when you listen on headphones, you can get a bit more from the audio quality, don't they? Or you can understand the... But I didn't. I definitely didn't notice. Do you mean when they were in the stock cupboard together?
No, it was when they were all at the bar, supposedly. It was only like three sentences...
When they were saying, have you decided about Leah yet?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Where Emma And I messaged Jeff and said, can you listen to this for me as well to make sure that I'm not imagining it? And he said, no, she's somewhere else. She was really muffled and it was so evident.
Oh, I'm going to listen back. Interesting.
And someone else has noticed it as well, because I was thinking, am I just being
maybe she had COVID that week.
And then this person, oh God, who is it? Said the same thing and said, did you notice?
I think when you listen with headphones, you notice a lot more. The sound is enhanced, isn't it, in a way?
But that was evident, though. Really, really.
Oh, right. Oh, I'll have a listen. Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, you know. Did it distract from your enjoyment of that scene?
Yes, because I thought...
Took you out of the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Although, also, I think probably because I just spent that scene going, has anyone actually asked Mia?
Yeah.
If she... And why is it such a big deal?
Does she want to do it?
And if I was Jolene, I'd just go, yeah, that's fine. And then if I really don't want her to do it, I'll just not ask her or get her to do a poster. No, you know, she's not going to... It was such a massive deal, this whole...
Yeah, I love the way...
Is this a birthday present? Yeah. I mean, it was all a bit weird.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is... But there was there was Tracy, Emma... and Brad, all involved in a campaign for Mia to do a bit of help with the fashion show. It just seems so bizarre.
They and love no a campaign, one, Mia, don't they? Yeah. They love her.
Yeah, but Mia wasn't even involved. No, Mia wasn't there going, yeah, I'd love to do that.
And it's the way that they... I mean, I do a bit of volunteering-y stuff here.
Yeah, and Lucy. People... I know you love to talk about your volunteering
charity.
Work.
And
come on, how many hours? Come on. And people, God, like 12 a week.
People
are
just
nothing,
really, really, obviously, when you've, you know, if you've ever had to recruit a volunteer for something, for the PTA
grateful,
or whatever,
you
just go, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And they go, I can only do so. And you go, it's fine. Whatever. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Unless
in Ambridge.
A school WhatsApp group, Lucy.
Yeah.
And there's someone who's volunteered all their time to organise something. And some of the mums, instead of saying thanks so much, start complaining about it. Anyway, let's not go there.
Yep. But in Ambridge, it's treated like, you know, a military honour. It's like... you have been chosen. This finger comes out of the sky, you know. It's you. You get to... Kirst is the only one who spends her whole time running around when he's trying to avoid people forcing her to be in things because she doesn't want to do it.
Jolene and Kenton had no qualms in basically saying Mia's really annoying.
Yeah.
But to Mia's relatives and loved ones, I thought it was quite insensitive. I think I just sort of gone... What that is such a lovely offer, and if we can find something for her to do, absolutely. So don't worry about it. I'll get in touch. And you just, it was all very strange.
Yes, it really was. And I completely agreed with Kenton. I wouldn't let her anywhere near anything.
No, but you just go, that's fine, and then just not call her up, would you?
Yeah.
But also, I really was relieved when Kenton said, this sounds like a jumble sale, because I was thinking, this sounds like a jumble sale. You get a token. You donate an item and then...
Yeah.
Well, Kate hasn't got any clothes for a start, so you can't get anything from her.
No.
If you like patchouli-smelling wafty scarves. Whose clothes would you want?
Jenny's clothes have already been ransacked by the entire village.
Yeah. I was racking my brains.
Yeah.
Going, what would I?
Yeah.
I think a better idea would be to do a sort of repair cafe, which is for clothes.
Well, they've got to do that soon because Leonard has been wandering around the village basically pleading with somebody to let him do a repair cafe, hasn't he?
I know.
He's, you know, he couldn't make it any more obvious. He's had T-shirts printed, for crying out loud. And everyone's still going, oh, hello, Leonard. Are you still repairing things for people in a cafe? That's nice.
But I think actually doing one for clothes would be great. I've got loads of shoes, clothes that need buttons, kids' stuff that need darning or whatever you do. I'd love that. But I'm not sure I would once, I don't know, unless, and also it made me laugh when, I'm not sure if I heard this wrong, but did Brad say, Amir's really loves the fact you're using local models, which is much more sustainable? Or no, which keeps your carbon footprint down. Did he say that?
Because Cara Delevingne was busy. Is that what he's trying to say?
Exactly. Did I hear that wrong? Did he say she loves the fact you're using local models? He must be you.
Would you come and walk at a jumble sale for us? No, I wouldn't. Fine.
Kate Middleton has some experience in homemade fashion shows.
That's one of my favourite Stella McCartney stories. You know when she was at St Martin's School of Fashion and Design?
Oh, yeah.
And she kept trying desperately to pretend. I mean, she did. She worked really hard, and she went to she did a course at a Savile Row tailors to learn how to do proper tailoring.
Do you mean Kate or Stella McCartney?
Stella McCartney.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
It was all very. You know, she was kept claiming that she was just like all the other students, just like all the other students. And when she had her end of year show, Kate Moss walked for her. And everyone else had, like, you know, their sister-in-law and things like that, you know.
Cara Delevingne lives around the corner from me.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, you said she has good... I bet she has good parties. Flipping next.
Yes. Yes. Mm. She lives
Although
next door
not now
to
because
some friends
all,
of mine.
She's all clean for a bit, isn't she?
Well, actually, I haven't seen her for a long time.
After she fell
One
out
of the last
plane.
Times I... Exactly. And also, the last time I saw her, she was falling out of a car on her way back from Glastonbury. And I thought she was a young boy.
Yeah.
Because she was so tiny.
Yes.
But so I could
she's very well.
Right, okay. But also there'd be a very big carbon footprint. London to Ambridge wouldn't work for Mia.
No. So Mia, just give up on Cara Delevingne. You can't even if it just wouldn't work. So
I mean
you settle
the buttons,
for Clary.
Yeah. Clary and the buttons.
Yeah.
The buttons will walk. It's a slightly strange event for a pub to be hosting.
I hadn't thought, but you're completely right. It is a jumble sale, isn't it? It's a jumble sale with models.
Yeah, which is a great idea, but I think that would work better for Alan and the church. I think Jolene should offer that one up to Alan and just concentrate on making some new drinks or doing karaoke.
Those drinks sound minging that she's making.
Oh, I thought the virgin mojito sounded all right. I love a virgin. I love a mojito.
Yeah, but it's just fizzy lime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine if it's fresh, but when you get a really sickly syrup, it's disgusting. Yeah. And it wasn't clear whether they were whether they'd made a lovely fresh thing or were just putting a big syrup in it.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, and also, sorry, one thing that keeps confusing me is that they keep talking about... Tracy's dad Bert.
Yes.
And every time they talk about Bert in the pub,
you think
I go,
it's Bert Fry.
R.I.P.
Is he back?
Is that not confusing? Or has everybody moved on?
I mean, Bert Horobin had a voice and he's been silent for ages. So either stop talking about him or let the man talk. But at the moment, he's just, you know, Bert's doing this. Bert is rapidly becoming the most entertaining member of the village, silently.
Yeah. Maybe he could swap with Sykesy.
Oh, somebody told us this is a bit naughty. I won't say who because I don't want to. Somebody told us that on one of the other Archers podcasts, people were saying how marvellous it was to let's have more of that.
Well, it was marvellous, Lucy.
But
it
what
was.
He was doing wasn't marvellous. Lovely to hear from him, etc. Well, but, you know, the jokes weren't great. But according to them, it was the most brilliant thing that's been on the radio for years. So why don't they give him the 6:30 slot on Radio 4?
That would be his... But to be fair to JC, he couldn't... I expect a lot of what he wanted to write had to be curtailed and cut and sort of modified for a 7 p.m. audience.
Yes.
So to be fair, I thought there were some good jokes in there.
No, there
were, Lucy. If you listen again, I thought the
I
one about
believe it the first time, so I listened again.
But if you're the one about bending down, I think I've heard that before. Actually,
Course you have.
I thought that was funny. Because when I was in a shop the other day, this lady came up to me and she said, "Are you able to bend?" And I actually didn't know whether to be a little bit offended because pretty obvious.
Anyway. It's actually very bendy. I do yoga once a week. I did. I do parkour. Yes.
Well, because I was affronted, I actually said, I've just finished a Pilates class. And then I felt like a right dick.
I love the fact you feel compelled to show off to pensioners.
I know. She was so old. She went, can you just reach down there and get me this? Go. But yeah, I shouldn't have felt the need.
No.
I went really far over, Lucy. I went right.
Did
she
you do
didn't
ballet
mean
arms
the bottom.
As well?
Yeah. I did. And I stretched to the left to get something she didn't want.
Is there anything else you like? Pirouetting up and down the aisle.
And then I skipped over to the counter yes. for her. But
who was that woman cartwheeling around the frozen section?
I thought, oh my God, how awful if you can't, you know, I guess when you get very old and stiff and you can't bend, that's terrible. It's awful. I know, but it really, really worried me.
Oh, set up a petition on Twitter. That'll
yes,
dear, yes. Okay. Sign this petition to stop people not being able to bend.
Exactly.
It was Ian Turner on Twitter who said that scene with Alice and Chris yesterday. Did Chris's mic seem strange? It sounded as if Alice and Chris weren't being recorded at the same time. Maybe the mics have been changed. No. It was not comfortable listening. So I only noticed it in the pub one, and he noticed it there as well.
I genuinely think it. Sometimes it depends on what you're listening through.
Yeah.
Because obviously, again, like your speakers can make a difference.
Yeah.
And
well, no, this was definitely the tone between the two of them.
Okay. Okay, I'll be listening back.
Yeah, honestly.
And we'll comment.
Right. Thank you very much for everybody that's emailed in to say Happy New Year to us. I won't read you all, obviously.
Thank you.
But we really appreciate it and thank
Happy
you.
Happy New Year. I said it three times.
Especially to William Nolan, who wrote us the most lovely email in the history of lovely.
That was really nice. Was thank you nice. So much.
Do you remember you talking about written by?
Yes.
Written. It sounds like Blue Bottle.
Yes.
Did Andrew Horn
get in touch with you?
No, Graham Watson.
Oh.
He said, I too saw the Napoleonic written on the wall at Highbury Tube Station. It's not the proofing, but the pasting. The poster's in pieces. So the bottom right pieces overlap the one next to it, overlapping the prongs of the E, thus making it appear like an I.
Oh!
So it's just, they've just put the strip of the thing in the wrong place. That's all.
Oh, okay. Because, okay, I don't know if I, can you not put this bit in the podcast?
Yeah.
I had some intel on that, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say, so.
Oh, I want to know. Can you tell me after?
Yeah, I'll tell you after.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if, you know what, if someone gets in touch with you about something and I don't know if it's, if we're allowed to say.
Is it an ill-advised stab? Yes, we mustn't have another ill-advised stab so soon, must we?
Can we get rid of all the stabbings? I feel because I did a lot of quizzes over New Year's Eve or over New Year, over Christmas.
Do you feel quite clever now?
My intelligence has increased.
Brilliant.
Beyond belief, Lucy.
Fantastic.
I know a lot of facts now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Do you know how many islands? No. Do you know the country?
No.
The island?
No.
Country? The country with the most islands?
No.
Guess.
Canada. It's always Canada. No.
Sweden.
Oh, yes.
It's got 253,000 plus
right. Blimey.
Islands. I know.
I love the way you
good,
said
isn't it?
Plus, because you can't remember
no, I can't
actually
remember.
Many.
But it's a really massive
bigger
amount
than
of islands.
10. Yes, I give this new stats, Harriet, about a shelf life of about February, I think.
I've got a stat for you about Canada.
Okay.
Who's got the biggest coastline in the world?
Is it Canada?
It is.
I'm also a genius. That's
well
amazing.
Done, you.
Thank you.
Oh, my geography knowledge is immense now.
I do the pub quiz every week, and when it says "and now geography," I'm like, right. Does anyone want to drink? Stop to the loo. Back in about 20 minutes. All right.
Can you only do musical theatre like me?
This is a very small pub in North Wales. If I suggested introducing a musical theatre round, I'd be hounded out of the village. Why don't we do clubs and restaurants in West One? No? No? Okay.
Come on, guys. Michelin stars.
Right. Yeah. Anne.
Moving on.
Anne. She said, I loved that Stella did not fall for Jill's manipulative fishing for compliments. This is dry, being code for tell me how good it is, rather than anything direct. And the Poirot had Kirsty playing a character this time. Will everyone yes. in Ambridge fetch up there? I know, if you listen to Radio 4X, it's like if you stand in Piccadilly Circus, sooner or later you'll see everybody you know. If you stand if you listen to Radio 4 Extra for a week, you'll hear every single member of the Archers yeah. cast.
And Kirsty's always playing very the ingenues, isn't
yes.
she?
Yes. Apart yeah, from that one, she was a child. She was really young.
Yeah, that
so
was
she
the
was really
Christmas
sort
pie.
Of squeaky and breathy. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was quite sweet actually, that one. I thought if you want to introduce your kids to Poirot,
the Christmas pudding one, yeah.
The Christmas pudding one is a good.
It's a bit dark, though, isn't it? Because
do you reckon? It's only one murder, isn't it?
No, but when she pretends to be dead.
Oh yeah. Oh no, but that's the thing. It's not even a murder.
No.
So it's a good one.
No, it's a pretend one.
I wouldn't say it's one of the best stories. But...
No. Well, it is. It was a very short story that got stretched and stretched because
right.
clearly they needed something.
Oh, a bit like. Did you watch Murder Is Easy on BBC One?
Ah, no, for that very reason.
It wasn't great, actually. No. It was really slow, I thought. But anyway, well, never mind. I don't like it when they
Agatha Christie wrote to a formula, and she had a, you know. Sorry, I'm drinking my coffee. She had a yeah. She had a, you know, chapter seven. This happens. Chapter seven. This happens. This is where we introduce the red herring, and you know, and they yeah. are quite formulaic. And if you suddenly decide, right, we want to get a 1.5 hour drama out of this,
yes.
you need a lot of padding.
Well, that's the thing. I wondered if it was a short story that they'd padded and padded and padded because it just there was a lot of stuff where there was a lot of scenes where things didn't happen. There was a lot of lingering glances.
And for an Archer's listener to say that, that's really saying something, isn't it?
A lot has happened lately. I actually yeah. think it's been really great lately.
Yeah, I
don't
agree.
You?
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Very, very exciting stuff going yeah. on.
That's why I was a bit oh god when it was a titular job.
I know.
I know. Like, are we going backwards? No, we've just got some momentum to zip along. Oh no, they've put the anchor down again.
I know. I think what will be difficult is everybody finding out and the worry and but actually once we start jogging along with that storyline, it'll
can't
probably
listen to
be
tense Pat anymore. I think
that's what it is, isn't it?
Because Helen's actually quite, you know, she's more chilled about.
Well, it's been
now.
Really nice.
She's more
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
right. Okay, this is what's happened. This is where I am.
Yeah, when the fact she hasn't been stressed with Henry yeah. has been really nice.
Yeah.
And
Pat's going to be patrolling the village, snarling, leaping at shadows, isn't she?
God. Killing.
Yeah. Killings. Right, Richard Keeling
yeah.
said, oh, the silly sketch we did this week about, last week, about about us being Ambridge on the Couch, PLC, and you being in Hollywood. He said it was his favourite ever. He said, I got a bit teary-eyed by the end of it. I'm blaming the home brew I was sipping. Anyway,
oh,
he says his plot
one?
Predictions are.
Was I in that one?
No.
Okay, fine, just checking.
We will find out the truth about Rochelle, and I think it will be Paul who discovers it. Maybe Joy has a big birthday and Rochelle is nowhere to be seen, so Paul being Paul does a bit of digging to surprise Joy, only to find out the truth. My money is still on Rochelle being dead. This news will then make Paul realise that life's too short, and he will make up with Denise, who he stopped talking to when she split up with his dad and started rolling in the hay with Alistair. I know I'm going to bore people with this one, but oh, let it go, Richard. I think it will be revealed that Vince is the grey man who bought Philip's slaves. There's been quite a bit of talk recently about how well Vince treats his staff. Was this just filler? I don't think so. In an episode last week, Kate mentioned how a window at Spiritual Home had been left open over Christmas. I think Mackenzie broke in and sheltered there as he has escaped slavery and has nowhere left to turn.
Oh my God.
I also predict many Ambridge residents getting ill in 2024. Now they actually have a doctor they can visit.
That these are all excellent predictions.
I really like the Rochelle one. That's exactly the sort of thing that Paul would do.
No, but that, but the, yeah, that was the other option that people are going for, isn't it? The fact that she's not alive anymore.
Yeah. No. I mean, Paul investigating.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that actually sounds very likely, doesn't it? But I wondered whether, because when she gave Kate the pyjamas and they still had the label on, I thought I had this awful sort of image that Rochelle had died when she was a baby, maybe.
Yeah.
Joy sort of living this, but I thought that's so dark and terrible. I don't think that can be the case. So it would be so appalling that I don't think that's the case.
Yes.
I think that's great. And also I agree with the abattoir stuff. You know when Freddie was going, oh, you know, the guys, they're just a bit of a laugh. Yeah. I mean, they're clearly bullying him, aren't they?
But wouldn't you, though? I mean, if you're, you know, wearing your white overalls up to your elbows in pig guts and there's some Bertie Wooster leaping around.
Exactly.
Saying, you
know. I know. But it actually was quite...
In an elf hat.
But the fact that Freddie was taking it was brave of him, wasn't it? I thought. But I wondered if that might become more of a storyline. Well, you know, it's like the chicken factory, isn't it? Just disappeared after a while. I thought that was quite interesting, the dynamic between the workers and Freddie. Yeah.
Naomi has another Joy theory. What if Joy had to put Rochelle up for adoption when she was born?
Oh, God.
I think she's created a life for her through the years, and now having moved, she can vocalise this as no one knows any differently. It would be an incredibly sad situation, and there is always a tone to her voice when she talks of her. I reckon once she sees Kate in those PJs, she might confess after all, and has Ambridge had an adoption story?
Oh, and maybe then she's going to try and adopt Helen and it's all going to get dark.
Oh, my God.
She's going to side with Miles and they're going to kidnap her.
Oh, and she said she's looking forward to hearing you cook a beef. And I'm plant-based, so that's saying something.
I've forgotten about that beef. Did Jeff ever do his...
He did.
His meter?
Yeah.
Was it last week?
No, week before.
Okay. Oh, maybe that's the one I missed. No, that was the Panto.
Oh, the week before that then.
Okay. I think I might have missed it, Lucy. But that was probably in the run-up to Christmas one, where I was too busy to listen to anything except Poirot.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. I might go back and listen then, because I'm still interested in how we do a meter and how I do a beef.
Yes. Yes, but just do a beef. It's easy. Anyway.
No, I'm over the beef now because I've found a really nice recipe. It's a Helmsley and Helmsley one for slow roasted lamb with anchovies.
Okay. Oh, yes. No, that is yummy.
Yeah, for Easter, I'm thinking.
Bloody hell. Philip Bailey says he sat on a train going nowhere. and he said...
Is that metaphor?
Yeah.
Is that just something to do with New Year or... He said, that's a real thing.
He said he managed to answer the often asked question, what do you get when you have two episodes featuring Alice, Chris, Lillian, Jacob and Kenton? Answer, the most boring 26 minutes of my life. Nothing happened apart from Lillian fondling a pony and Alice and Chris having cringe-making conversations, faux apologising for everything over and over. Alice's voice has now reached peak annoying entitled, whilst Chris sounds like he's phoning it in. Thank God for Brad, Chelsea and Tracy for a tiny ray of joy. I turned to Ambridge in my hour of need and was badly let down. Regards, Phil from Exeter, but currently stuck outside Pangbourne. I do hope you're not still stuck outside Pangbourne.
Oh, Pangbourne's very nice, though, isn't it?
Pangbourne just makes me think of Four Men in a Boat. But anyway.
Well, I've been enjoying the Alice and Chris stuff because...
Anyway.
It depends. There's probably Four Men in a Boat outside Pangbourne anyway in the summer. But... I don't mind. I've been enjoying the Alison because I find their over niceness to each other.
Yes.
And they're sort of overcompensating for having split up. Because there's this Harry stuff going on, I'm really enjoying the dynamic. Because there have been a few, but I loved it when, Alice was so, oh my God, Harry's calling me again. Oh, yeah. So awkward. And then
he just will not leave me alone, Chris. Yeah. You don't mind me talking Chris. About this, do you?
Oh my God.
Look, this is Harry in his underpants. This is Harry bending over.
This is his hip that is metal. But when Chris said, he just, in the end, he just went, I don't need Harry on my side or something, yeah. didn't he? I don't yeah. need Harry to fight my corner.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh,
yeah.
it's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
Because we're going to something, because obviously Harry did that weird thing of turning up and going, hey, I'm Alice's new boyfriend, Chris. That is weird, isn't it? And mm-hmm. I was so yes. relieved when Kate said there's an aura I don't like.
Yeah.
Because that's confirmed everyone's suspicions yes. yeah. that he is yeah. too good to be true. So,
yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah. Blum, blum, blum. Okay, now. This was Steve Parrott who said, we have had some decent script lines starting in the last couple of months. Why do we have to get snarled up with more of the titchy knob stuff? Grumpy of Devon.
What you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, last week we played Nigel taking the header off the roof. And
bless him.
Many people commented the noise of him falling, because we said, you know, as we said at the time, it was a hell of a fall. It's the Doppler effect, apparently. And
what does that mean?
Claire, it's, oh God, here we go. This is an ill-advised stab. it's when a noise gets further away and it changes in tone. So, you know, a police siren, when it comes towards you,
yeah,
the tone changes, except it doesn't. It's just the way you're hearing it changes, and that's the Doppler effect.
Well, isn't that because it's far away and then it's close?
Yes, I don't just mean the volume. I mean the actual pitch of it changes. So it goes, oh. do, 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 do. You know, so it... If it's a particularly operatic piece of car, that's what it sounds like, yeah. And I said that the man and the, you know, the are you a man or a mouse thing? Because
oh, yeah.
everybody said, David said to Kenton, David said to Nigel, are you a man or a mouse?
Yeah.
And I thought it was when they were on the roof that he said that, but it wasn't. It was they were in the kitchen in Brookfield or something, I think.
Before and,
yeah,
Nigel
before,
went on the roof.
The kitchen in Low Loxley. Mm-hmm. Joanne sent us in a link to it, and she said she said, we all miss Nigel. Although the months after his death were rough, I can't be the only person who grew weary of Lizzie's near constant stream of, this is the first birthday / Easter / fireworks display / petrol fill up since Nigel died. Petrol fill up. And Lonnie in New York said it was, he ended up going back and listening to that episode. And he said it featured not only Nigel's death, but the early birth of Henry following Helen's episode of preeclampsia at the New Year's Day party. Remember also that Tony and Helen weren't speaking up until the birth because Tony disapproved of the pregnancy. The days leading up to it were very entertaining. A funny panto and several now missed characters, Joe, Brenda, Amy, and old Tony and old Tom. But David did ask the question of Nigel, are you a man or a mouse, when Nigel expressed ambivalence about taking down the banner because Lizzie had said not to do it. Mm-hmm. Nigel had originally asked David to return the next day, but David had said it would be easier to get it done then. Elizabeth didn't hear David say that, but I believe a few days or a week later, David confessed to her that he had urged that they do it then. That sparked Elizabeth's fury at David.
I remember that. Yeah.
But
it is David's fault.
David's fault entirely. But also, it was Kenton, as Jeff pointed out, it was Kenton that did the knots. And if Kenton hadn't done such complicated knots, Nigel could have been up and down there like a rabbit rabbit.
It's like Kenton's fault.
Yeah.
Basically,
like a rat up a drainpipe.
It's all the archer's fault.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Kate Lloyd Jones said, hence David's, David said they might as well do it now, hence David's guilt and fallout with Lizzie when it came out. But she said the misdirection in that scene was really interesting because at one point you think David's going to fall off.
Yeah. I mean, I can only vague.
She
wants to go back to, actually, especially if you weren't listening to the Archers then.
Yes.
Because it's had so many implications.
Which takes us to our... Well, Jeff found it really interesting. This takes us to our new section, January Joiners.
Oh, yes!
If you
January
are a,
joiners.
If you are a January joiner, you need to wear your lapel patch and lapel badge and form a stand on the left so we know that you're a January joiner.
Your left.
And yeah. And you can email us with any questions that you want if you need to sort of fill in and catch up on the last 422 years. So
got a minute. I meant I thought we'd have do you mean January joiners for the Archers?
Yes, or this podcast or whatever.
Yes, yes. Well, I thought if you
well, this podcast must be quite baffling if you've joined it in January.
That's true. But you might have been forced to listen.
Or even if you haven't joined it in January, it's just generally baffling. But anyway.
I thought if you have joined us if you have just started listening month of January.
Then let us
know. Of 2024.
And we will celebrate you.
We will celebrate you. We'll pat you.
Yes.
We'll
stroke
joy
you like a little
you.
Shetland pony.
Oh, a little man. Yes.
He's not a man, Harriet. He's a pony.
Emma calls him a man.
I know. I was being Jacob. Love it. Who said, he's not a man, Emma. He's not a man. It's a pony.
Yes, that was so funny. I've forgotten. Oh, it's like a
I know.
Man with his suit and tie. so funny that.
Look at him all smart, getting ready for work. He's not a man, Emma.
That's so funny. So if you would like to join us, like a little man in a... Well, whatever. Well, for God's sake, if you start listening, please, you can email us. I know we haven't finished the show, but send us an email at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com or find us on Twitter or Instagram at Shambridges. And then we can, do something.
Yes.
That went well, didn't it, Lucy?
Yeah, yeah. Slick, I thought.
That was clear.
Patricia Johnson is worried that something awful is going to happen about Champion the Wonder Horse.
Oh, he's pregnant, isn't he? It's not a he, and he is pregnant. That's what I assumed. But then I thought, well, surely Jacob would
Jacob is, I mean, he might not be a great vet, but he can see a horse's donger, for crying out loud, or absence of same, surely.
That's what I assumed. But then I guess we had that storyline with the guinea pig, so maybe it is not so.
I think guinea pigs are a hell of a lot more difficult to sex than a bloody horse.
Right.
That sounded quite posh, didn't it? Bloody horse. Bloody horse.
Sounded like one of Harry's class appropriate horsey mates. You and Hazza at the bar getting the drinks in.
Dear. Where was... yes. Oh, yeah, okay. Terry White said, because we were talking about... Stella saying, being taken as by Jill as saying, you're hidebound and old fashioned and everything. And he said Brookfield has always had an intergenerational thing. Back in the 70s, Dan would quote Alexander Pope at Phil, and 20 odd years later, Phil would turn it on David. Be not the first by whom the new are tried, nor yet the last to lay the old aside. So plus ça change, and it just carries on, and yeah. The next generation is always going to reject because that's progress. Kate as well said about the Chainsaw Charlies, as she's calling Chainsaw Charlies, as she's calling Ed and Emma. I very much doubt Emma had much of the proper safety gear on when she was waving that saw around. What's the chance Ed's protective jacket, trousers, gloves and boots come anywhere near fitting her? And I wonder how much she'll like coming home smelling of two-stroke, chain oil, bonfires and sawdust rather than dishwasher steam. Most tree surgeons I know are giving up more active stuff like the climbing and rope work by Ed's age, as that's really a young man's game. I always think of Ed as young, though.
Yeah, I do as well. And Emma, actually. I always feel like they're in their early 30s.
Yeah.
But I did slightly panic because I thought, I know Emma loves holding the chainsaw, but you have to do that at the top of a tree.
Yes.
Which must be a very different experience.
Yes. Yes.
I don't like heights, Ed.
I'm not going up there.
You do the up bits, I'll do the down bits.
Make my coat mucky. Now, Josie says, in November, I emailed to warn we had not heard the last of Bruce, predicting him using Jack to fill the gap left by Rob. Miles is weak will do Bruce's bidding. Henry and Jack will end up daggers drawn. Helen will be at her wit's end for years to come. Oh, good. I think the land purchase makes this more likely. Yep.
Yes, that was a good... Yeah, I remember that.
Now, John Doolan has sent us Adam in Baldur's Gate, just for people who don't know what a archer's character in a video game sounds like. So here he is. Ready?
Yeah.
Then I'd ask if you've made any progress with your little problem, but the telltale twitching of your eye is answer enough.
So the answer is exactly like Adam.
Yes.
Except marginally more sinister.
He's always evil.
Yeah. He's got that slightly sneery.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
And very computer gamey.
Very computer voice. Gamey. Now, hilariously, it was Jeff's idea to set up Harriet and Lucy have an ill-advised stab, and then proceeded to have the world's worst ill-advised stab at saying to me, ha, 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 if cabbages stopped people having scurvy, they'd take them on sea voyages. And it turns out that they did take them on sea voyages. So, no, to Jeffy. And lots of people have but messaged in to tell us, including Steve Barry, who said, please could Jeff stick to Febreze rather than doing a doctor's waiting room slot. Scurvy was indeed treated with sauerkraut as it was a way of keeping it edible, but scurvy is a disease of the connective tissue and can lead to fatigue. And T. Martin... in the latest episode of the pod, Jeff said if you could ward off scurvy with cabbages, they'd have just taken cabbages on boats. Well, indeed, because that's precisely what they did do. And at this very moment, I dare say that dozens of Dutch military historians are gathering outside Jeff's house with steaming dishes of stampot demanding a correction. Dutch sailors took cabbages on their voyages in the form of sauerkraut. Ha ha ha. And he's given me lots of very interesting... Mm. Apparently the British officers didn't like it on Cook's first Pacific voyage. They took lots of sauerkraut and the British sailors didn't like it because it was foreign muck. so he had marked the barrels, marked for officers' use, and then the officers ate it, and then the ordinary sailors demanded their own.
Oh.
Cunning.
Cunning indeed.
He says, it was the Dutch who solved the problem first. As Lucy said, cabbage is good for everything except for not farting, of course. Sauerkraut, which contains indigestible trisaccharide raffinose, is a noted cause of flatulence. Still, better than sores, bleeding gums and death, hey. Yes, Thomas, it is better than sores, bleeding gums and death, unless you're in a lift with somebody, in which case you'd probably much prefer that they had bleeding gums.
Or in a tiny cabin on bunk beds. God, it must have been horrible in there.
Steve's prediction is, oh no, this is about the tree surgery. Car repairs from a fallen tree would probably be paid for with a comprehensive policy, but bearing in mind their constant money troubles, I suspect very strongly that they have a third party policy, in which case they'd need to pursue the owners of the tree. I suspect they haven't been paying their insurance at all. Though I admire their wish to finally do something themselves rather than waiting for Oliver to do it for them, their idea that they're going to change career, while I think it's a reasonable idea, but after one waft of a chainsaw, we have it all planned out. A business loan for someone to train, set up and start from scratch seems a little unlikely in the current climate. Lastly, Harry Styles, or whatever his name is, Harry the Hip. I found his whole interaction with Chris rather unpleasantly patronising, and then pushes poor Chris into doing something that he wouldn't normally do. Asking Chris to do the work in the first place was rather creepy, and then offering the list of clients he could put his way was always likely to leave Chris with his nose out of joint. It was it was very hierarchical, wasn't it?
I
am the one with the power and I am graciously
letting you. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I thought Chris held his own very well, actually.
Yes.
He didn't rise to Harry.
No. Sorry, I'm just resisting the urge to make a joke about
Chris.
It's been a long time for Chris. when is Amy coming back, or is she not? Do you think she's gone?
Well, as his fluffer, you mean?
Yes.
My sister-in-law, who's a vet, was telling me about what they called, where stallions are born, and racehorses.
Stud farms? Yeah.
Yeah, and because you need a fluffer, a stud, because it's all you have to be. It's all. I mean, it's an extraordinary world.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so there is a job of the fluffer.
Yeah,
to make sure that the girl horse is ready before the big stallion comes in.
Yes,
sounds pretty cruel, doesn't it?
One of the weirdest things I've ever seen was going to visit my godmother, who runs a livery, and she sort of stood up and I said, "Hello, Auntie Jenny." And she stood up, turned around and said, "Hello, I'm just cleaning his willy out." And you have to. It still gets a bit mucky down there. Oh, but yes, and I was like, "Oh, shall I go back to your house?"
Oh, gross.
She's very matter-of-fact, Auntie Jenny. I love her. Anyway, okay. Now, we are crossing. If anybody is feeling... Have you made any health... Yes, if anybody... have you made any New Year's health-related New Year's resolutions, Harriet? Apart from not swearing, no. Which you've broken about 14 times in this podcast already.
God! Especially like my mother-in-law said she might listen to this.
Oh.
Can you take that swear word out, please? Thanks. Yep. No, I haven't had time, Lucy.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes, I'm giving up hang gliding again.
Oh, I'm taking up zip wiring, actually. I'm going to conquer my fear. But I'll only do it in the dark with a torch.
Well, in Ambridge, they are contemplating a new healthy start to the new year.
Welcome, everyone. Oh, is the outside door open? I can feel a draft. This hall's like a wind tunnel if the door gets left open.
Oh, that was me, darling. Sorry. Febreze, can you shove it?
I have done it. Hello, Jolene.
Hi, Febreze. Nice to see you. Welcome, one and all. Or rather, one and the other one. To Ambridge Bulkbuster's New Year's sign-up.
Bulkbuster? I think I use them when Salon Lou block up.
This is your chance to get slim, trim and ready for a healthy new year. I'm surprised there aren't more people here, really, the amount of porkers I see trotting round the village.
Well, I lost 13 stone of surplus fat over Christmas. Sadly, we got back together at New Year's, so I'm back where I started.
Yeah, New Year is certainly the time to make a fresh start and remove all the pollutants and toxins from your body.
Oh dear, I think it is the pollutants and the toxin holding hands that keep my body together.
Think of all the starch, the alcohol.
Alcohol? Oh, steady on, darling. There's healthy and then there's Spartan lunacy.
Well, Bulkbusters is unique in that it allows you to tailor the eating plan so that it works for you. As long as what works for you is no starchy foods, alcohol or sugar.
I like starch. It is one of my favourite food groups.
You can still have as many as your favourite foods, just with slight modifications that you'll barely notice. Like curry, for instance, but without rice.
Oh, that is fine. A great big garlic naan work just as well.
Well, no, that's a refined carbohydrate.
Can I eat common carbohydrate then? Chips or smiley faces? Because you have to have something to pick up a curry with. Otherwise, it's just a big slop. And that is why God make chips, rice and bread. Structure. Or your food just slide about.
Try and stay on topic, Febreze. The important thing is to focus on what makes us happy.
Chips, rice and bread.
And not think of it as deprivation, but of all the benefits being healthy will bring us. Lillian, what are you looking forward to?
Cigarettes aren't starch, are they? Thank God for that. Well, Alice has pointed out that Aziz's legs have started to buckle when I'm on him, so there's that. And Justin.
Do his legs buckle when you are on him?
Not just his legs, darling.
I want to stop going oof when I bend down to pick up an air grip. I want to feel positive, flick my air about and love myself.
Yes, that's absolutely it. Celebrate yourself.
Oh, yes, I can get behind this. This could be our year, Febreze.
Well, thank God. It has been everyone else's so far. Oh, I am excited now.
Let's go and celebrate ourselves. To the bull.
For Wayne's porky scratches and gin and tonics.
There are other ways to celebrate yourselves. Maybe a candlelit bath. Some yoga.
Ah, for God's sake. Some people just don't want it enough, I suppose. Well, that's fine. I'll just sit here with my 2 gallons of kale and almond smoothie, admiring my slim calves. Yep, might treat myself to some crudités later. Go sod it! Lillian! Fabrice! Wait!
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. That I see what you did there, Lucy. Yes. You did like a little teaser.
I did.
I thought you were just genuinely interested in my news resolutions.
No.
My New Year's resolution was to do more prep for the podcast, but because we were starting very early this morning, that immediately. My prep was making a coffee.
Yes. Oh, and now we need to do this.
What the is happening?
Better late than never, Harriet.
Why is it being beeped out?
Because we do a bleep one. Because you wanted to give up swearing, so we've done a beep one. So nobody's swearing. Okay, and so this is the clip from Jamesy.
The eggs are mixed in. What's next?
Hang on a minute.
Oh, it's all right. 200 millilitres of milk.
Let me get the roasties in.
200.
Right. Have you seen the parsnips anywhere?
In it goes, and...
Ben, no! Ugh! Switch it off! Oh, you idiot!
How's it all going? Whoa, what on earth?
Splashed all over me!
Ben, you look like you've been concreted.
I said to wait, and you've got to put the lid on.
What is that stuff?
First I was like, oh, it's Edward and William.
I know, and then I thought, is it Henry? And then I thought, no, because who's he with?
Oh, it's Ben and George.
Yes, little Ben and George.
There's no way your dad would come in and go, whoa, what's going on here, you crazy
kid? For God's sake, what are you doing? I told you never, ever to put the oven on when
I'm
not here.
Don't cook, it's woman's work. Step away from it. Where's your grandmother?
Oh, that was really fun. I don't remember hearing them as kids.
Well, they must have been making. Maybe it was Mother's Day.
Or Christmas dinner. No. Mother's Day or something, no. Yeah. Jill must have been lying down for 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, she was lagging the loft or something. I don't know.
That's great. I love hearing. I just genuinely don't remember the fact that there were child actors for Ben and Josh, but clearly there were.
No, because some, because they're special, because they are archers.
Yes, they are special. And Pip would have been played by Helen Monks back then, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've forgotten her.
But then I think there was a child Pip, actually, as well, wasn't there? There was a kid Pip, I'm sure.
Was there?
Let's see if... Well, probably too old to be on the credits now. Mm. Pip the Archers, actors. I think there might have been 3 Pips in all.
Really?
No.
None of them as beautifully named as Daisy Badger, though, which is just the best name ever for an
Archer. Yeah, well, they've only got Daisy Badger online now. But she was definitely Helen Monks before, and then unless she started as a kid. I do remember Pip having a very young voice originally. Mm. Anywho, that was fun. Thanks, James.
Thank you, James.
We'll go hearing that sort of, you know, when you, because for a kid it's also hard to imagine that they are doing something with a food processor. No, yeah. That's too much. That's too much.
Oh no, you idiot! Oh,
stop
please,
it.
Mary Poppins.
Please, Mary Poppins. May we go to the park?
May we go to the park? Okay. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Oh, thanks so much and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. See you then. Let us know if you're a January joiner.
Yeah.
I was going to say don't pretend because we'll know. We won't have a clue, really. yes.
And if you would like to recommend us to any of your friends to join in January so we can say hello, please do. Thanks. Yes. Thank you.
Now, Matt is feeling quite... class appropriate this week, and has pointed out that there is a great deal of there was something that I wanted to, I've just remembered it. Where's it gone? Dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Yes, he said, James pointed out that it was Kenton's idea to put the banner on the roof. Oh, sorry. Yep. Yeah.
With the knots.
Yeah. So Kenton's fault. It was not only the knots, but it was his bloody idea to put it up there.
Yeah, so it is his fault.
Yeah.
It's Kenton's fault and David's fault.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. So he's feeling quite... Matt Rodriguez Payne is feeling quite class appropriate at the moment. And he's noticed that there's a great deal of differentiate, as there always is in the Archers, really, differentiation between opportunities available to different class, members of different classes. So he has done an upstairs, downstairs version.
That's a good idea.
Of the Archers. And it is a lovely waltz, this. So if you fancy a quick waltz around the kitchen, get a mop or something, a la romantic sitcom, and have a little waltz about.
What was the reference that Alice said was a bit close to the bone?
What?
Was it a literary reference and Alice said that's a bit close to the bone? Was something about land being...
Oh.
Someone will remember.
Yes, it was... No, it was about the Grundys, wasn't it? About losing...
Yeah. Oh, it was the Panto. It was Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah. Losing the farm.
I was just thinking upstairs, downstairs. Yeah.
Yes, it would have actually been a much better link, but anyway.
Bum 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 bum
so
bum.
Are we
I'll just
all
bring
ready
my
to
dancing shoes on.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Bye bye everybody.
Just bring my long gloves on. Goodbye. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.